Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Governments around the world are scrambling to fight the coronavirus pandemic, but it should not be the responsibility of governments alone. What can businesses do? How can they contribute? Now, we need all hands on deck to fight this, including the resources and ideas of the private sector. Joining us via Skype from Geneva, from the World Economic Forum, we have Arnaud Bernot, who is the head of Shaping the Future of Health and Healthcare from the World Economic Forum. Good evening, Arnaud. Welcome to the show. I'd like to begin with your assessment on the global response to the COVID-19 outbreak. How would you rate the different countries have responded to the pandemic?
Well, I think what we have seen happen is that people are learning by the day, and it's so new as a situation. I think the world has learned the hard way that you need to react with speed, determination, courage, and clarity. But that's something that we had to pay the price for that in the learning. We've seen that the response are better coordinated today. We're learning a lot from the experience in China, everywhere in the world.
Can you elaborate a little bit on? Can you elaborate a little bit about the lessons that we've learned in the past 3.5 months?
Well, we learned that no one can react alone. We learned that what's happening in a country may well be happening at the same time in another country under the radar. We learned also that when governments implement measures, they have side effects on populations, they have side effects on businesses. But we have seen way too often people acting in the context of their own individual silos. So we learned the hard way that a better coordination mechanism is needed.
And in the fall of 2019, the World Economic Forum convened an emergency health workshop in New York, and you had, you know, leaders of governments, businesses, and international organizations there to workshop a kind of simulated response to a hypothetical global health emergency. And now, just a few months later, we're seeing this come to a reality for us. Can you share with us, Arnaud, some of those findings and the learnings from that simulated global health emergency?
Yes, the workshop was very much organized in different streams of work, in a way. How do airline operators have to respond? What do you need to make happen so that supply chain be maintained? How do you communicate to your employees? How do you act in the context of a particular industry that is actually meant to provide access to essential equipment or essential PPE? Pandemic supply chain network has been in force for the past 3 years. We experimented also how the pandemic supply chain network can respond in those types of situations.
And are you working with governments and businesses to provide consultation, to provide perhaps advice about those very learnings?
I would say both. Both governments and international organizations, civil society, and also the businesses. So I think everything we do is as we connect those different constituents. So absolutely, we work with governments as part of those simulations. And we want to offer our support to governments when it comes to connecting them with businesses.
So how have businesses responded to this crisis? I mean, this is not just a problem of governments. I mean, to fight this, we need strong, decisive leadership from the corporate sector as well. So are businesses, particularly big businesses, doing enough to fight the virus?
Well, they have been doing a lot, but they have been doing a lot alone. And that's what we have been learning for the past 3 months. Now, that's where the forum created exactly a week ago, the COVID Action Platform. The COVID Action Platform is precisely meant for businesses to actually get better information, to make more reasonable decision in view of business continuity. They're also learning how to actually get involved in the response. And one of the formidable missed opportunity would be if businesses were not going to be provided with a place for actually getting involved in the response.
How exactly can businesses get involved?
Well, they will get involved because they will get a common source of knowledge. And a common source of knowledge means that they can make decisions collectively, consistently, and more importantly, from time to time, they may have assets and capabilities specific to their businesses they can mobilize. They may also want to contribute in donations to various to fill certain gaps. I'm thinking about innovation in therapeutics and vaccines and cures. They may actually decide that they want to lead a particular initiative, or they want to contribute to a particular initiative. And they can be in fields as diverse as supporting non-pharmaceutical interventions. This can be because they work collectively to restore their supply chains, or this may be because they are decisively sharing capacity when it comes to advancing vaccines, for instance.
And speaking of vaccines, pharmaceuticals and research labs are racing to find a vaccine for COVID-19. I mean, earlier this week, we heard of news that the first stage of a COVID-19 vaccine testing had gotten underway. So, Arnold, how far are we from having a safe, manufacturable vaccine for the COVID-19 virus?
Well, listen, every large and small vaccine manufacturer has stepped up to the plate. There is no one of them I know that is not having their own research program at this point in time. You are very right. I mean, 48 hours ago, a first vaccine got into a phase one clinical trial in human. And that has been unprecedented in terms of the time it took to get to that stage. You know, from sequencing the virus to actually getting into the dosing phase, that is the phase one phase, it took 63 days. 63 days for that particular moment is unprecedented. It has never been so fast. So we have hopes that we can get a vaccine much faster than we would normally be used to it. That said, phase one is about finding the right dosing, the dosing that's not harming people, right? There's still a lot to be done now. We need to demonstrate that the vaccine itself is efficacious, that it's going to actually provide for an immune response with populations in need. And then it needs to be manufactured at scale. And we're talking about hundreds of millions of doses. So even the manufacturing footprint and the filling capacity to get those vaccines to the ones in need will need to be addressed. That's where, when I listen to the clinical experts, and they tell us that realistically, we will not have a vaccine before 12 months, maybe 12 to 18 months, I strongly believe they are right.
Okay, so we're looking at 12 to 18 months before we have a safe and manufacturable vaccine. Arnold, you mentioned just now that it's been unprecedented that a vaccine has been developed so fast, so quickly. Why has it been so fast? Is it just the urgency of this outbreak, or has technology helped speed along the process some way?
Both. Both. Fair to say that, and I'm not going to run a commercial for the particular company that is actually running that trial, but in combination with NIH. But fair to say that they are working on a very, very different novel platform for vaccine development, something that is very new. But also, I think the speed and the mobilization of resources has happened very much, pretty much everywhere. I'm not going to name those large, but all of them are actually moving with speed.
So we're talking about private companies developing this vaccine, right? So how are we going to ensure universal and equitable access to a vaccine?
That's a very fundamental principle. I'd like to mention that in January 2017, the World Economic Forum launched the Coalition for Epidemics Preparedness Innovation, which is a non-for-profit public-private partnership that is meant to advance research innovation. CEPI, the Coalition for Epidemics Preparedness Innovation, is actually funding a number of those research programs. a number of those vaccines. I mean, the one that is being tested with NIH, the one that went in human 48 hours ago, is actually funded partly by CEPI. So that's very interesting, because when people are partnering with CEPI, when manufacturers or researchers are partnering with CEPI, they commit to CEPI access principles. And the access principles of CEPI are about equitable access and affordability and access to the world, not to a particular country.
Finally, Arnold, you've done a lot of work in this area. Now, in preventing future pandemics, how do we as a society build capacity, build resilience?
Well, you know, I think in those types of situations, vaccines are essential, right? So I would say point number one, CEPI needs more money. CEPI needs more money to innovate in new vaccines in peacetime, as opposed to doing that during wartime. So that's, I would say that we will need to ensure that CEPI is properly funded so that they can have multiple candidates, vaccine candidates being progressed during peacetime. That's point number one. But point number two, this platform we created to engage the private sector and in partnership with governments and international organizations, the COVID Action Platform, actually may become a permanent instrument for actually businesses to always have access to every possible bit of information that is essential for them to make the best business decisions. Because business continuity, employee protection, is part of the protection of livelihoods. So I think some of the instruments that are being developed today, we should be very careful about not closing them when the situation will be behind us.
And we have time for one last question. Now, in these unprecedented, challenging times, businesses, I'm sure, are weighing their longevity and the possibility of their bottom line being impacted by this pandemic against how to help. So how do we encourage businesses who are already worried about money to devote more money to fighting the pandemic?
Well, actually, you would be surprised. You would be surprised. It's not like we have to motivate them. They are motivated. They're looking for where to go to actually contribute. We have been, since we have started the platform, launched the platform a week ago, we have been approached by hundreds of companies actually willing and submitting their own proposals. And so I think the desire to engage and contribute is there. I mean, we are in the world of stakeholders, not shareholders, right? It's beyond shareholders, it's stakeholders. And I think CEOs have well understood that. They are encouraged by the employee base to actually do the right thing. They look for a conduit. They look for a mechanism to do that. And that's what we're trying to provide.
All right. Thank you so much for speaking with us tonight, Arnold. Appreciate your time and your insights. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for this episode of Consider This. I will be back with you same time tomorrow night for another episode. Thank you so much for watching and have a great evening.